Great job with the kids choir too. I appreciate everybody's applause for that. Wonderful job. What is the condition of your heart? The heart I'm speaking of isn't the muscle in your chest that pumps blood throughout your body. It's actually the heart that Mr. Earls mentioned in his message today. The heart that's within your mind. It's a heart that's a part of the inner man or woman, is the way I kind of like to look at it. It's deep within our minds, and it's a place that is commonly referred to by many in society as our heart. It's not the muscle that pumps blood throughout your body. But that our heart that's within our mind directs our everyday actions and even the decisions that we make in life. This place within your mind takes your personal convictions and your values and thereby sets a path for your life. So it takes everything that you feel that's important in life and helps guide and direct your path in life. We won't turn there. You can jot it down in your notes if you like. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9. It says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." So the man's heart, God's word tells us that that inner place within our mind directs the direction that we want to head in life. But then when God gets involved with that person, he actually dictates and directs the steps of that person. When God works with a person to bring them into a relationship with him, he sets that person on a path that pleases him. I'll give you my own personal example in this. But when I was growing up and I went through my years of schooling, I had no relationship with God. Certainly wasn't attending the Church of God at that time. I was raised Catholic, as most of you probably are aware. And I kind of knew, or thought I knew, where the direction of my life was going by the time I graduated from high school. My family owned a business, and I worked with my dad alongside my dad for many years by the time I was graduating high school. And I thought that I would continue to expand my role within my father's company and eventually end up, hopefully, owning my dad's business. But I set my thoughts, just as Proverbs tells us, in Proverbs 16:9, I set my heart to pursue what I thought was going to be my future. But then the Lord stepped in, and he did a completely 180 from the direction that I was heading in my life. That's the way God works. Sometimes we make our and set our own plans, but God, at the right time, according to his will, turns us and has us heading in a different direction. As we go through life, we set and establish values in our life. For instance, a value in your life might be the Sabbath day. You might consider this day very special in your life. And in terms of a ranking order, it may be very high in your mind and in your heart. So the Sabbath is one example. Another one that probably most of us adhere to, if not every one of us, is the teaching and understanding of clean and unclean meats. I think that that's really high. Most of us wouldn't even give a thought to eating anything unclean. And we're very diligent in making sure we read the ingredients list on a number of different products to make sure we don't transgress that part of God's law. Another high value. And I knew people, especially when I was a young man, that really had this next item as a really high value in their life. And that was a car. At one point in my life, my car was everything to me. I had a 1971 Ford Mustang Mach 1, and my life revolved around that Mustang through my senior years in high school. God took that away from me. And I willingly gave it up and moved on and matured a little bit. But that was a very high value in my life at one point. And it is for a lot of people. It could be our home. It could be your spouse. It could be your children. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. It's just a number of different types of things that we consider valuable and hold them high in our mind and in our heart in life. The things that we set as valuable in our life guide us in our values and what we do appreciate. And they together define our character as a person. We might have some very strong values, and therefore we would be strong in our character. If we had very few values in our life, where we didn't really put much as of a high value in life, then we might be someone of lesser character. That you just get involved in whatever comes your way, no matter how bad, how negative, how hurtful it might be in your life. But a person with a higher character level, they make sure that they only allow good things to come into their life, things that will benefit them and not harm them. The condition of your heart, the condition of your inner mind determines your character. Why is it that some people pursue evil in their life? Have you ever thought of that? I mean, you can sit and watch the news and you see story after news story of individuals that have committed heinous crimes. There was one here recently about a guy who was setting people on fire. What took him from being a little baby to being a full-grown man setting people on fire? And it was a hate crime, just because he hated them. He didn't know them. He didn't have any justification to hate them as a person, but he hated them, even though he didn't even know them. What took him to get to that point in his life that he didn't even value life at all? You see, the condition of your heart determines whether you pursue a path of evil in your life or a path towards what is good. And even spiritually speaking, what is righteous. So to wrap this up a little bit, we all set our values and our morals and our ethics in our heart. And then that determines the kind of man or woman that we become. It forms our character. Proverbs very accurately describes the power of a person's heart when it comes to the path that a person walks in their life. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Let's go ahead and turn there if you would. Proverbs 23. Verse 7, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, as he thinks in his heart. So that even speaks to how your mind takes a situation, takes a judgment call that you need to make in your life on whether you're going to do something or not do it. And you make a decision about that. That man that set those individuals on fire or tried to or was threatening to, I know at least one person was caught on fire. He made a decision at some point, and he had been planning this attack, I heard, for a year. He made it at some point in his in his mind, he came to a point of justifying his evil plans as actually good. That's a sad state for a person's mind to be in. So Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." It's important that we realize how important our heart or our inner mind or our way of thinking is. And it's important what our values are, what we hold as high esteem in terms of morals and ethics. My message today is for everyone, but I would really encourage our young people to pay careful attention to what God has to say about this subject. It's vital to determining your future. It's vital. So there's a series of questions that I would like to answer as we go through the rest of my message today. And I'll give you the title. The title for my message is "Write Them on the Tablets of Your Heart." Write them on the tablets of your heart. The first question that we'll go through, and you can jot them down if you like, but we'll go through them again. What makes up our character? So we'll answer that question. What makes up our character? Are we born with a set character? Are we born with a set or predetermined character? Can we change or develop our character? How important is our character to God? We'll look at all these questions and maybe a few others as we look into our heart in my message today. Only God knows the real character within each and every one of us. I can't look at any of you and say, okay, I know that person's character. Because only God is the judge of our heart. He knows our heart inside and out. I'm guessing that God probably knows my heart better than I know myself. Sometimes we may not even understand our own character until we're put to a very difficult task or trial in life. You might sit back and think, well, I couldn't possibly go through, and then you can fill in the blank. But I bet we don't really know the strength of our character at times until it's put to a test. Our decisions and our actions in life form who we are as a person. So the first question we'll look at is, what makes up our character? If you would, I've asked Nye and Lizzie to pass out a chart that I put together, and I want to share that with you. So if Nye and Lizzie would start handing those out, I'd appreciate that right now. There should be more than enough for one for each adult, I hope, and even the teenagers. And thanks, guys, for your help with that. I'm not going to reference the chart just yet, but I will shortly. So what makes up our character? Quite simply, it is what we value in life. It's our own personal ethics and morals in life. And I bet if we went around and shared what each of us believes strongly in, there would be differences amongst each of us. If someone asked you to define the definition for ethics and morals, could you do it? Could you explain to someone the difference between ethics and morals? Well, I think it's important that we understand the difference. We should be able to describe the difference between something that is considered an ethic and something that is considered immoral. So I handed out the chart. Hopefully you received one. If you didn't get one and you'd like one, raise your hand. And they're finishing up now, it looks like. And I won't go through this in detail. I wanted to give it to you, and you can look through it in a deeper way later. But at the top, you'll see it says ethics and morals, and I put two columns, and then off to the left, I put some points for thought and comparison of ethics and morals. So I'll look at the definition of both first. It says, for a definition of ethics, rules or laws that have been enacted by an institution, an organization, a government authority, religion, or from God to guide individuals' conduct from what the authority decides is right and wrong. So it's things in life and in society that establish and offer us guidance in life in what the governing authority thinks that we should do. Then you look at morals. The definition for morals is a personal belief or habit and conviction that guides your conduct when deciding between right and wrong. And your moral may not be correct. It may be very weak. You can even apply that definition to the man that I talked about that was attempting and did set someone on fire recently. He made a decision in his mind, according to his morals, that what he was about to do was a justifiable thing, a good thing, a right thing. He may not have actually put a definition of good on it, but he felt it was a right thing to do. And in fact, God would judge differently, I'm sure. So you can look also to the left again, and you see the next item there says an established value. Who establishes value to your ethic or to your moral? Well, if it's under ethics, it's a societal ethic, one that has evolved within your society or possibly even within your religion. The morals are something you establish personally in your life. You decide what is morally correct and right. And you make that decision based on a number of different factors in your life. So then the next will drop on down to where it says why obedience or why obey either. And with ethics, if you disobey an ethic of a society, you're likely to get punished for doing that. Personally, if I go against my morals, I can expect to bring pain and suffering in my life. So I won't go any further with it. You can look at it even on down at the bottom. I kind of gave a real life example from the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts have always been dedicated to high ethics and morals within their organization. I'm not vouching that it's perfect. It certainly isn't. There's been a lot of bad rumors about the Boy Scouts and some of the leaders within the Boy Scouts in past years. But you can even compare their oath, the Scout oath or promise, which falls in line with an ethic, something that is determined by those that are in authority of the Scouts. It says, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. So even in their Scout oath, they differentiate between the idea of an ethic and a moral. And then the Scout law, the Scouts promise to adhere to these things. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. It's too bad. I think if our young men in our society were more involved in scouting and having these principles brought into their mind on a regular basis, I think our whole society would be far different than it is today. So I just wanted to get your mind and your thoughts geared along these lines of ethics and morals, because it is what makes up our character. What we value in life decides and builds who we are as a person. If we don't have strong established morals and ethics, then it stands to reason that we will have poor character. If our character is low at some point in life because of decisions we've made, then we can expect to be suffering in life, that life will be difficult. If life is difficult, then we will need to look at the condition of our heart. That's a good place to start. A good place to determine that maybe I need to change my values, to change what I value in life. A healthy heart with good values will produce blessings in life. Let's notice a couple scriptures that give us this same indication. Proverbs chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 21. Verse 21 says, "The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning." Let's go over one chapter to Proverbs 17, verse 20. Just the opposite here. "He who has a deceitful heart finds no good." A deceitful heart, a lying heart, a heart that's not focused in the right direction, that doesn't have high values, will find no good. There's no benefit to that person's life. "And he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil." And generally the condition of your heart, which is what verse 20 is really saying here, the condition of your heart is equal to what comes out of your mouth. Let's listen to Jesus Christ's own words here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Matthew 6, verse 21. It says, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is," what's a treasure? A treasure would be something that you value, something that you hold to a high value in your life. And Jesus Christ said, "For where your treasure is," or for what you value in life, "there your heart will be also." Jesus Christ even teaches us about the condition of our heart and the importance of filling it with good values in life. If we treasure good things in life and in our heart will be at a good place. And then God can direct blessings towards you. The second question we'll look at and answer in my message today is, are we born with character? Are we born with character? The answer is no. As we've seen, our character is made up by our ethics and our moral beliefs. And those things are developed over years. Both of those, ethics and morals, are learned and acquired thoughts and beliefs. As we age from a young person to an older person, we begin to learn about man's laws and also God's laws. And we learn about the penalty of breaking them. We also learn of God's laws and how we can incorporate them in our life. In both instances, man's laws and God's laws, we as individuals decide for ourselves what, if any, ethics and what, if any, morals we establish as our own. So I can, to make this into an, turn this into an example, I can tell my kids when they were a young age, I can say, one of man's laws is, don't speed, don't go over the speed limit that's posted on a given road. And they can either decide, oh yeah, that makes sense to me. It's good for me to drive within the speed limit. So then when they're driving, they're careful. But it also might be, it's the prerogative of my kids to look at me and say, I don't care about man's laws. I don't care that the speed limit says 35. I can safely drive down that road at 55 miles an hour. So if you want to cast aside man's laws, what's going to happen eventually? Pain and suffering. When you break laws, you end up paying for it. And I've even told my kids, I won't name any names, present company excluded, but I've told them that in the past I said, if you want to drive, not that any of my kids did, but I said, if you want to drive 55 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone and you get pulled over and you get ordered to go to court and stand before a judge and you can tell the judge, judge, that 35 mile an hour speed limit is ridiculous. I completely disagree with it. I can easily drive through that area at whatever speed limit. He's going to look at you and say, good for you, and he's going to penalize you, and he's not going to care at all about what your thoughts are on the speed limit within the town. So I tried, as a father, tried to get my kids to think about real life situations. And, but that's the way that we either establish morals and ethics in our mind and our heart, and we either follow them or we cast them aside. It's the same thing with God's law. I can show any of my kids that how important it is to keep the Sabbath day and all of God's instruction within the Sabbath, but I can never establish it in their heart. It's their decision, and rightly so, because they have to live with the consequences of either honoring the Sabbath day or discrediting it. And there's rewards and punishment for both. But it's up to the individual to decide, okay, I understand about the Sabbath. Do I value it or do I minimize it and not make it a value in my life? So character can be built and is built at various points in our life. And young people, as you're moving from your high school years into your adult years, that's a huge time of growth in terms of your morals and ethics in your life. Because up to now, you've always heard mom and dad telling you what is good and what is right. And now you have to decide, am I going to incorporate this in my mind and my heart? Or am I going to minimize it and put something that's really valuable in my mind and heart, like my car? So it's a time of decision making. It's a time when you, as you're moving from high school into your adult years, will establish what's so important for you in your life. And I would encourage you not to just let that happen by chance. Give some thought to it. Realize how important it is that you determine the morals and ethics in your life, because they're yours. They're not your parents. They may coincide with what your parents have always taught. And if they do, that's a good thing, because our young people here, you have wonderful parents, and we're going to see the fruit of wonderful parents after services today when we honor our graduates. But you should be thankful for the parents that you have, because they've been a huge blessing for you in your life. And they've given you guidance on what important and valuable morals and ethics are. It's up to you to accept them and make them a part of your heart. Let's go to, I'll just ask you to put it down in your notes and you can read it later. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. I was going to read this from the New Living Translation, but it's just talking about the importance of God inspiring Paul to tell us how important it is that we value the governing authorities in our life. So like I said, we'll, for the sake of time, we'll skip over that part, but you can read that on your own and understand the point there. The third question that we'll answer in my message today, can we change our heart? Can we change our heart? The answer, yes. And as I said, some of the biggest changes that happen in our life are when we move through high school and into adult life. And I think those changes change again as you move from your 20s and into your 30s. Because you're going through another level of maturity. You've got a lot of education. You have real life experience on your side at that point. You're no longer living underneath your parents. So there's a lot of changes, I think, that happen within the heart of a person as they move through their 20s and into their 30s. God calls us to direct our heart to establish good values in life. And he actually tells us to prepare our hearts to seek the law of God. God tells us and encourages us to prepare our heart to seek after the law of God. Some of God's people have done that in the past, and others have not. Even in our day and age, I know people that have walked away from the understanding of God's truth and his law. That's a hard thing. It's a tough thing. But let's look at a couple of scriptural examples. Let's turn with me, if you would, to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7, we'll read two verses here, the first one being verse 6. We'll see here that Ezra was a skilled scribe in the law of God. That's a pretty important statement. It says, this Ezra came up from Babylon, verse 6 of Ezra 7. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. So he knew the law inside and out. He was skilled in it, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Now let's drop down to verse 10. Says Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of God and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. So Ezra was a powerful man of God. Now let's look at King Rehoboam. It's a lesson for us all. He didn't seek obedience to God. And therefore, he suffered war all the days of his reign as a king. Let's go to Second Chronicles, chapter 12. Second Chronicles, chapter 12, and we'll read verses 13 through 15. Thus King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. the city which the Lord had chosen out of the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil. Verse 14 tells us about his reign in Israel. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. What a powerful example of how important it is that a young person or any person prepare their heart to seek the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you raise that as a high value in your life. That's why Ezra was successful as a scribe, because he raised that to an important level within his life. Verse 14 again, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. The acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. Nothing but fighting and warring, because Rehoboam didn't set his heart right with the Lord. It's a shame. But that is the difference of establishing God's way as a value in your life. The fourth and final question that will answer my message today is, how important is the condition of your heart to God? How important is the condition of your heart to God? Clearly, God wants us to establish our heart with Him. He wants us to be unmovable and unshakable in our faith and trust and reliance upon Him. Let's notice another lesson and the curse upon Asa for not establishing his heart in loyalty to God. He wavered, as did Rehoboam. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Might be there. Might still be in 2 Chronicles. Just move over back a few chapters to chapter 16. And we'll pick up the story in verse 7 through 9. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Libum not a huge army with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. See, another decision from God on a person that is walking away from God. Asa did not establish God as a high value in his life, and he did not seek him in many areas of his life. And God said there will be wars and difficulties in his life moving forward. If we don't establish our heart in the ways of God, we will suffer the same discontentment that they suffered in their constant fighting and wars. That is no way to lead your life. So what is God's very direct message to each of us, both young and old? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Let's go ahead and turn there. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, I'll read this from the New International Version. This is God's admonition for each of us, and especially our young people, because as I mentioned, you're at that point in your life where you're going to be establishing your own morals and your own ethics in your life. Verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. Why do you think God tells us in here to guard it? Well, that word paints a picture, at least in my mind, that that's a description that we're to protect our heart. And I think it's important that we make sure we guard or protect our heart, because there's always something or someone, a being, Satan, that wants to steal your heart away from God. He wants you to value you far above your value of God himself. So verse 23, above all else, don't lose sight of those three words at the beginning of this. Make this important in your life to guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What a powerful scripture showing the importance of our heart in our life and where it is at in our life. How do we accomplish that? How do we accomplish Proverbs 4, verse 23? Well, let's go to Proverbs 22. I believe we'll find an answer here. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17 through 19. And I'll read from the New Living Translation this time. Proverbs 22, beginning in verse 17. Listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instructions. This is God speaking. Apply your heart to my instructions, for it is good to keep these sayings in your heart and always ready on your lips. Verse 19, I am teaching you today. Yes, you. This is a message, and God's stressing that he is giving it personally to you. I'm teaching you today, yes, you, so you will trust in the Lord. It's not about you and your buddy or you and all your friends. It's between you and God. It's not between you and your parents. It's between you and God. Your relationship as a young person will always be between you and your Father in heaven and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Your calling, your yielding to him, is a very personal message from God to you. And your worship and your dedication to God is a very personal message from you to God. And he knows your heart, and he is the judge of it. Not me. I'm not the judge of my kids' hearts. Your parents aren't the judge of your heart. But we are to take care of it and guard it and protect it and only allow good things to come in. Because when good things come in, good things go out in our life. You can jot down in your notes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Brethren, when it comes to our relationship with God, we can leave nothing on the table. We can't hold back any portion of our life. We must give it all in our calling from God. So what's God's admonition for us in developing a healthy heart towards him? Final scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. Probably not surprising that we're staying a lot in the book of Proverbs today. Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. This is God's admonition to developing a healthy heart. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Think about Rehoboam. Think about Asa, who had wars and fighting throughout their reign. They disobeyed God. They did not hold God high of, in his law of high value in their life. God says that if you put him first, you will have peace. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Write them on the tablets of your heart. These Christian principles of mercy, of truth, of God's law. Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and your fellow man. You see, what you value in your mind and in your heart will be apparent to other people. They will know if you're a man or a woman of God just by watching how you conduct your life. They can't judge your heart, and they shouldn't. But how you live your life will be very obvious, and it will be a benefit to you in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him in everything you do. Every decision you make, make it with God in mind. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's God's promise, that he'll be with you. If you acknowledge him in your life, if you set him as a high value in your life, he will be by your side throughout your days, and you'll have peace. You'll have good things. You'll have blessings from God and even from your fellow man. Hope the rest of your Sabbath day is very blessed. And again, after we close in prayer, we'll have just a short break before we do the high school graduation recognition.